One of the things that we decided right off the bat when we started this podcast was we would not let just anybody sponsor us. To get on here and be a sponsor, you have to share the same values and you have to have the same heart as we do. And you have to be providing something that's very important to us. And coffee is very important to us. And that's why we've been very happy to have Juniper Mountain Trading Post Coffee as our personal sponsors here on the channel. They're the company that provides all the coffee for the school. It's the coffee that we drink personally at home. And we're very, very happy. They're a family-owned company that does everything themselves, and they have the same standards and the same heart that we do. So if you're looking for a quality coffee company, go to junipermountaincoffee.com. And when you check out, make sure that you plug in and type in Dry Creek, all one word, for a 10% discount.
Good morning. Dwayne here, Dry Creek Wrangler School. Sitting out in the tack shed. It's chilly this morning, and the temperature itself isn't like brutally bad, but there's a bit of a wind blowing, and it just cuts through you. Boys and I were going to go ride this morning, and we're starting to get the horses in shape for school, but we've decided to kind of put it off to after lunch and see if it warms up a little bit more. Besides, the horses have gotten a lot of miles last couple days. Two of them got, day before yesterday, they got 17 miles. And then yesterday we went out here and moved, found a couple of runaway wild heifers and moved them and drove them back in. Then went after another cow, heifer that belonged to another rancher. And so we covered a bit of territory yesterday. So they're going to rest this morning. Then if it warms up a little bit, we're going to saddle up and go put some more miles on. So I thought while I was sitting here in this warm tack shed with coffee and good fire going in the stove, you can't see it from there, I guess. But I said, thought I'd just sit here and talk to you about something that's been on my heart lately. I get a lot of, turn this down a little bit. I get a lot of correspondence on the videos. And this is going to be one of those cigar talk videos, okay? I get a lot of feedback from people that have been wronged badly in their life. And they're having a hard time dealing with it. Now, I think in my experience, for whatever that's worth, in my opinion, we as society, and I'm going to say especially Christianity, especially in the church, we make things harder on victims than they need to be. We add to the burden of people who are victims of bad behavior. We add to that. Now, you say, Dwayne, how do we add to that? We encourage and insist and demand that the wronged, the victim, always bears the responsibility of forgiving the malefactor, the person who has done the wrong. That is not biblical. It's not wise. It's not logical. It's not reasonable. It's not helpful. All right. Now, before you 30-year veteran Christians who never actually study your Bible, jump on here and say, the Bible tells us to forgive. The Bible does not tell us to forgive. Now you think about that one for a minute. You say, Dwayne, I got this verse, I got that verse. You got nothing. All right. The Bible does not tell us to forgive everybody that does us wrong. The Bible tells us to forgive those who come to us and confess their wrongdoing and ask for forgiveness. That is two totally different things. We're supposed to forgive, as Christians, we're supposed to forgive others. How? According to Scripture, as Christ forgives us. How does Christ forgive us? Well, Scripture is extremely clear. Christ does not forgive us until we come to Him and confess our sin and ask Him to forgive us. All right? So let's back up for a minute. Let's define forgiveness. Forgiveness, as most people define it today, is not an emotion. It's not how you feel. She said, Dwayne, that person hurt me really, really bad. Everybody's telling me that for my sake, I need to forgive them. But I'm still extremely hurt and extremely angry. And so I haven't forgiven them. And how do I move on until I forgive them? You can move on without forgiving them. In fact, you are doing wrong. This is Dwayne. I need a table here for my coffee. You're doing wrong in several points if you forgive them and they haven't confessed their wrong. You said, my best friend did this and did this, did me terrible wrong and just left. They never said, I'm sorry. They never said, I did you wrong. This was my doing. I did you wrong. Will you please forgive me? And now I can't get closure. And so I'm having a hard time forgiving them. Forgiveness is not a change of emotion. Okay? If you actually look at the true definition, the etymology and the true definition of forgiveness, it's granting pardon. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It's granting pardon. Pardon for wrongdoing. So if someone comes to me and says, Dwayne, I did you wrong and I'm sorry and will you forgive me? Then yes, I am by all means and under all flags, I am obligated to forgive them. Now, what does that mean? It means I pardon them for the wrongdoing. I am not their adversary. I am not seeking punishment for them. I am not seeking for their demise. I'm not seeking pain for them. I pardon them for what they have done. That's all it means. But if they don't come to me and say, I did wrong, will you forgive me? I don't have to forgive them. And if I do forgive them, I am in some ways, I think this is my opinion, this is how I look at it, I'm doing wrong. Why? For one thing, I am tolerating wrongdoing. Okay? I am saying it's okay. And that's one of the reasons why there's so many chronic offenders out there. It's because they're never held accountable. And from the time they were a little baby, mom would say, it's okay, it's okay. It's okay that you did wrong. And everybody's always let them off the hook and nobody's held their feet to the fire and said, look, Jackwagon, you're a punk. All right, you've done wrong. And no, it's not going to be okay until you face it up. And they can't learn to face their wrongdoing and start changing unless they're held accountable. And if we just keep forgiving them, if we just keep granting them pardon for their wrongdoing, without them even admitting that they have done wrong, without them asking for forgiveness, who are we helping? Okay? We're not helping them. Now, what about the people who do us wrong and who do come and say, man, I'm sorry. All right, I did wrong. I shouldn't have done that. That this is on me. Will you please forgive me for that? And we forgive them. Now, we forgive them. They did the hard thing. All right? But this one over here, we grant them the exact same thing. They won't admit they did wrong. They won't try to make it right. They won't stop doing wrong. They won't come to you and ask for forgiveness.
But we give them the exact same thing that we give the one who does right. So we dishonor the right doers. We dishonor the right doers by granting forgiveness to the wrongdoers who don't ask for right. But the big point that I want to make today is for you, the victim. We place a burden on you that it is your responsibility to forgive the wrongdoer. But deep down inside, on a base, super base, foundational level, we can't truly forgive them if they don't ask for forgiveness. You can't grant a pardon to someone who will not even admit that they have done wrong. Therefore, we place on you an impossible burden. An impossible burden. We give you a responsibility that you cannot perform. All right? In most cases. Now, there are some very rare people out there who just can let anybody do anything and it's okay. Well, most of us are not like that. And so you're sitting there and for years now, you've been going through this. Someone did you wrong. And I mean, you know, great wrong, okay? A spouse cheated on you, ran off and left you, took up with your best friend, and never said anything, never did anything, never changed. And you're like, you know, it's been 7 years now, and I still have not been able to forgive them. You don't have to forgive them, all right? Let them go, write them off, and move on. It's not your responsibility to forgive them until and unless they come to you and say, I did wrong. I did wrong. Will you please forgive me? And then you forgive them. But now by not forgiving them, that just means, now let me make sure this is clear. That just means you don't grant them a pardon. You're not obligated to grant them a pardon for their behavior. But at the same time, for your sake, just let it go. And that's easy to say. It takes time. All right. But you cannot let a seed of bitterness come inside of you and grow fruit and expand and turn you into somebody that you never meant to be and you didn't want to be. And the two are not the same thing. Okay. So they're the burden that we place on people. You know, Peter came to Jesus and said, how often should I forgive my brother if he offend me? And if you read that, if you actually read that, Jesus says, if your brother comes to you and asks for forgiveness, 7 times 70. That means every time. You say, well, I think that they're probably just, well, it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter. Someone does wrong and comes to you and says, hey, man, I did wrong. You know, and we've all had people in the family or friends that were hotheads. I'm going to turn this down a little bit. Either that or I'm going to have to rotisserie and cook on the other side. We've all had people who were hotheads in the family or friends, you know, our friends group that were constantly doing stupid stuff, constantly doing stuff, losing their temper, whatever. And they come back and say, guys, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. What do? You forgive them. You pardon them. All right? Now, there comes a point where pardoning them does not mean you got to let them back in. Okay? Pardoning is forgiving is pardoning, and pardoning is saying, okay, I'm not your adversary. I'm not your enemy. I'm not going to seek punishment. Here's the deal. True forgiveness is pardon, and pardon is I'm not going to seek to punish you any longer for what you have done. That does not mean that you have to put them back in the same position that they held before. It simply means I do not seek your punishment. I do not seek and wish and hope that you would pay for what you have done. I pardon you. I forgive you. But their wrongdoing can be so bad that you can say, but I'm not ready. I'm not willing to boyfriend, girlfriend, and somebody cheats and you guys break up naturally, of course, and they come back and say, look, I did you great wrong and I'm sorry, please forgive me. Yes. Yes, I forgive you. But we're still not going to be an item anymore. You're still not. All right. There's neutral ground. We're an item. We're in a relationship. Okay. We're in a relationship. We're no longer in a relationship. We're a neutral ground. That's when two people just, decide it's not working. And then we continue on through to the negative side. It's like, we are adversaries. We're enemies. And I want you to pay. I want you to be punished for what you've done. Okay. So now we start in a friendship. We start in a relationship. We start in whatever it is, or it's good. It gets to the point where, you've got complete strangers and they're not enemies. They're not friends. It doesn't matter. And then you got over here, you've got wrongdoing. If someone comes to you and says, I did you wrong, will you please forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. That puts you right here. Understand this. This is critical to this whole concept. You are obligated. You are. Okay, especially if you're a Christian and you follow what Christ says. You're obligated to say, yes, I pardon you. I do not want your punishment. I do not want you. All right, we're pardoned. All right. All that does is put you right here. Back to neutral. You are not obligated to go back to here. Okay? You can say, I forgive you. I'm not your enemy. I don't want your suffering. I don't want your punishment. I don't want you pay your to pay for this. In my heart, I pardon you for what you've done. But we're not friends anymore. But we're not married anymore. We're not an item anymore. We're not in business together anymore. We don't go hunting together anymore. Whatever it is, whatever your life is, okay? You're only obligated to come back to here. But if they've gone here and they have not confessed their wrongdoing and they have not asked for forgiveness, you're not even obligated to come back to here. That is not a burden for you to carry. That is not your burden. Christ said for us to forgive others as he forgives us. He forgives us when we confess our wrongdoing and ask him for forgiveness. Who in the world is going to put a burden on you to do more than Christ himself does? Now, I've discussed this with a lot of pastors and a lot of Christians and a lot of people. I've never found anybody agreed with me. So I've gone back and looked at it again and again and again. And I'm right. All right, I'm right. If the church tells you have to forgive somebody who has done you wrong, whether they ask for it or not, they're wrong. If a pastor tells you that, they're wrong. And usually they come at it from the side of, well, you need to do that for your own sake, for your own good. No. All right, that sounds like really good and lovey-dovey and everything, but it's putting a burden on you that is not fair for you to carry. Let the emotion go. Don't become bitter and mean and fearful. All right, control your emotions, but don't carry the burden of having to forgive the unforgivable. Okay? All right? I hope that helps. Study it out for yourself. All right, don't take my word for it. All right, study it out for yourself. But stop carrying burdens that even God himself hasn't asked you to carry. Stop carrying burdens that even God himself doesn't carry. Why would you try to carry something that even God himself doesn't carry? All right, society will put burdens on you. The church will put burdens on you. out of good intentions. Family will put burdens on you. All right? Burdens that you don't need to carry. All right? Let it go. And live. Okay? All right. I hope it helps you. I do. You know, folks, there's folks that get on the channel and they comment. And 99.9% of the comments are good. But there's folks that get on there, they don't understand. People don't understand what we're trying to do here. All right? I'm going to tell you a story. This video is getting kind of long. I don't care. Okay? I'm going to tell you a story. It's a Bible story. But to my non-religious friends, it's not that kind of Bible story. Just hold on. Okay? All right? So Jesus is walking down a road. And he's heading somewhere to teach. All right? And he's got all his followers with him and everything. And they're going down this road. Setting off the road upon a hill up here is a very small city. And as back in that time, in that era, a lot of bandits, a lot of rogue elements and stuff, there was a wall around the city. Now, as Jesus and his followers are approaching down this road and they're coming, the gate opens to the city and a procession files out. Group of people comes out. Turns out to be a funeral procession. A widow in the city had lost her son. He had died. It was her only support, and it was her last living relative, and he had died. And so it was a funeral procession coming out of the city. And as they come down, Jesus and his group intersects them coming down. Jesus stops the procession. Now listen to me, okay? This is such a little thing, but this is so important, all right? He stops the procession, and he says he had compassion on her. All right, that was it. And so he went back, and he raised her son from the dead. And then you know what he did? He went on his way. He didn't preach to him. He didn't pass out tracts. He didn't give everybody down the line the God's simple plan of salvation. He just did something meaningful for somebody because he had compassion for them. Now he went on down the road. He continued on his destination. And he went to where he was going to teach, and he taught. That's what he was there for. That's what he came for, all right? But, you know, I can't help but think that there were people from that city who showed up out there and listened to what he said and thought, you know what? This is new, and this is different, and this is kind of hard to swallow. But I know that that man cares. He cares about our daily life. He cares when we're hurting. And he has compassion. There's a saying out there. I didn't come up with it. I don't know who did. It's been around for a long time. It's in horses and it's in people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so when we do things like I do that simple, silly little scrambled egg deal, I'm not a cook, and I'm not trying to become a cook. I just care about young people who didn't have anybody to show them such a simple thing. So I just want to show them, just because I care. Do you care? No, I mean, do you care? Do you go around trying to correct everybody and make sure everybody lives right without showing that you actually care about people? Okay? And so I care. And I just want to help lift a little bit of your burden. All right? So forgiveness is not your responsibility until the person who started all this comes and confesses their wrongdoing and asks you for forgiveness. Until that happens, don't carry that burden. All right? All right. You're going to want to know it's a part of this black label. And so... Be logical. Be reasonable. Be safe. Have fun.
and be at ease. And we'll catch you guys next time.